How can you tell when you're having a rotten day? When you wake up face down on the pavement, I'd say it's a rotten day. You call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. Your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. Your twin sister forgot it's your birthday. Your boss tells you not to take your coat off. Your wife says, "Good morning, Bill," and your name is George. Joe Piscotti, engineer at a bank in San Francisco, one day walked into his bank, which did some really complicated things. And when he walked in, all 12 of the girls that worked for him sat before him with maternity shirts on and their bellies sticking way out. And all at once, he thought to himself, how am I ever going to train 12 new girls to do all these complicated things? And at that very moment, all the girls jumped up and yelled, "April Fools." Yeah, on average, most of us worry about things that'll never happen. Yet there are many things in this world that can rob us of peace. Things that can tear the heart right out of us. The other day I went to the place that has these CPAP machines, which are machines that they use to cause air to go into your nose and mouth when you have sleep apnea. So we went there and we said, "Look, the machine I have, the thing on my face isn't working good. Could you give me a new one?" They said, "No, we can't do that without a doctor's prescription." So now I got to run to the doctor's on Tuesday to get him to prescribe a new mask that'll go over my face so that Connie can hold me down and stop the air going to my mouth. You know, often we stand or hear people say, "If you will do this or if you will do that, then this will result." You know, we hear the people on TV all the time that tell us, "Buy this machine and you're going to look like, you know, Mr. America or Miss America." Or they say, "Buy this box of stuff and you're going to lose 50 pounds. Or, you know, they say, "Do this and you're going to be the healthiest person in the world." Or "Buy my program and you're going to be a millionaire. We guarantee it." And often they will say, "If it is not true, we could not guarantee it." You know, you sit back and chuckle when you hear it. But I want this morning to make a guarantee. I want a guarantee to you this morning that if you will do what I'm about to tell you, you will have peace, the kind of peace that everyone else wished they had. You will have peace that no one can take from you. You will have peace that people will look at you and say, "How in the world could they be calm with everything that's going on around them?" I want to guarantee it to you this morning. If you follow the prescription I'm about to give you, you will have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I want to give you this prescription in three simple words. They all start with the letter P. Here's the first one. Pray. Pray. Look at Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." So God here gives us a guarantee. He says that if we will pray with thanksgiving, that He will give us a peace that passes all understanding and it will guard our heart and our mind. So let's look at this guarantee from God. And I want to look at what it says negatively first. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything." We might say it this way: do not worry about anything. I'm sure already under your heart, under your breath, you're already saying, oh, come on. Do not worry about anything that's impossible. Is it? The word anxious here is a word that means to draw in different directions. So if you think when you're worried, your mind is being pulled in two different directions. You're trying to concentrate on your job, but something else in your life is pulling you away from your job and is drawing you in two different directions. We might define worry as a distracting care. It is any care that comes in your life that distracts you, that draws your mind in a different direction. I love when Christians say, well, I'm not worrying, I'm just concerned. Well, let me say it this way. Concern becomes worry when it distracts. Concern becomes worry when it distracts. In the way the original language reads it here, what Paul is saying here is, stop worrying. He's writing to people who are already worrying, and he's saying, look, stop. And I might say to you this morning who are worrying, stop. Do not worry about anything. There is nothing in your life in which it is okay to worry. Let me say it again. There is nothing in your life in which it is okay to worry. Now, I know you don't believe me yet, so let me say it again. There is nothing in your life in which it is okay to worry. In fact, we can take it a step further. If you are here this morning and you are worrying, I want you to know that you're sinning. Worry is sin. If you are worrying, you are sinning. How can I say that? Well, God here has just commanded us. He said, don't worry. So when I do that which God has commanded me not to do, then I have sinned. So whatever it is in my life that is causing me to worry, that is causing distracting care, that is sin. Do not be anxious about anything. Worry is sin because it violates the command of God not to worry. Worry, in fact, slanders God because it questions God's love and God's control. We get to a place in our life where something happens and we get all worried about what might happen, what's going to happen, and in essence, we are slandering God, whom we are trusting to watch over our life. You know, worry is never, ever helpful. It is always destructive. When you worry, it affects you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It affects you physically by causing all kinds of physical problems in your life. It affects you emotionally because your emotions get all torn out of sort. It affects you spiritually because you're putting your life in a place where you are disobeying God. Wish I had time, but you can write the passage down, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Jesus saying the same thing. He says, do not worry about anything, about what you wear, about what you will eat, about what you will put on your body. He says, do not worry. So I know I haven't convinced many of you about not worrying, but I want you to notice that whenever God tells us not to do something, he always tells us to do something in its place. So there's always a put off and a put on list. Get this out of your life and put this in your life in place of that. So he's saying here, I want you to take worry and get it out of your life, and in place of worry, here's what I want you to do. Every time you find yourself ready to worry, here's what I want you to do. Pray. Pray. He says, do not be anxious about anything. but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In everything, we should pray. Everything that comes our way, everything that comes into our life, instead of worrying, we are to pray. We are to take that problem to our Almighty God, our friend. And we are to lay it at the feet of our God. And let me say this morning, the cure for worry is not apathy. Some people say, well, you know, I have figured out how not to worry. And the way I have figured out how not to worry is just to stop caring. I just won't care anymore. I won't care what people say. I won't care what people think. I won't care what happens. I just won't care anymore. And if I don't care anymore, then I won't worry. But let me say, all that really does is make you cold. It makes you cold. It makes you empty. We don't need in this world any more cold, uncaring people. We need a whole lot more prayer warriors. We need a whole lot more people who are going to say, hey, I care, and because I care, I'm going to pray. We need a whole lot less people who say, you know what, I really don't care what happens. And that's the answer that most people have come to. That's the answer of this world. You can stop worrying. All you got to do is stop caring. It's not what God says. God says, I want you to stop worrying and I want you to stop praying. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We are to give our needs and our concerns to God. So let me just say this morning, ask this morning, what is it that is bothering you? What is it this morning that is distracting you? You may be here this morning, you're trying to listen to what I'm saying, but something's pulling your mind away. What is it that causes you to worry? God's answer to that problem is to pray. God's answer to worry is to take that issue in your life that is tugging at your soul, tugging at your heart, and to take that issue and bring it before an Almighty God and say, God, here is my need, here is my problem. I lay at your feet, God, I need your help. And I want you to know this morning that prayer changes things. There are some people who pray and they pray and nothing ever happens. I want you to know prayer does cause things to happen, and prayer does change things, not just people. God does answer prayer. Now, why you notice here that he says, look, while you pray, there's an attitude that you need to have. It is not running before God and saying to God, God, hurry, 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 my life's falling apart. Coming before God with a thankful heart. Saying, God, I don't know what you're going to do in this situation. I don't know if the end result is going to be positive or negative, but God, I know that you love me. God, I know that you care about me. God, I know that you are working in my life, and the end result is going to be for my good. God, this is what I want to happen, but you know in my heart, I want your will to be done. I think it's this. But God, my desire is to do your will. So work in my life, work in my heart, work in this situation towards that end that will bring you the most glory. Now, I want you to know that God says when we do this, the result will be a peace that passes all understanding. Now, you may be here this morning and say, no, wait a minute, Tom, I've done that and I haven't gotten peace. I'm still worried. Then I want you to know you haven't done this. You haven't done what God is saying here. How do I know that? Because I know God does not lie. And God says if we will do this, his peace will guard our heart and mind. You know, it does remind me of the story of Horatio Spafford. You may not know Horatio, but you have just sung his words. Horatio Spafford was known to be a peaceful and happy guy. He lived in Chicago. He was an attorney there and the father of four daughters, a member, active member in his church. He was a friend and supporter of a guy by the name of D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist. D.L. Moody decided he was going to go to England and begin a series of preaching of sharing the gospel. And Spafford decided he would go and help. But then a series of calamities happened, starting with the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, which wiped out his family business, ruined his extensive real estate investments. Spafford decided to lift his spirits and the spirits of his family and take them on a vacation to Europe. And he also planned to help Moody in his evangelistic efforts. So in 1873, November, Spafford was detained by business, so he sent his wife and his kids to England. He decided he'd catch up. You may know the story. The ship in which his wife and children traveled sank, and all his daughters were killed. A modern-day Job. He lost his business, he lost his real estate, and all of his girls died. And all 226 people died on that ship, drowned. His wife, as I said, was one of the few that lived, got on another ship, headed to England, wrote her husband, letting him know that she was the only one in his family that had lived. Spafford jumped on a ship and he sailed for England to meet his wife. While he was on that trip, he asked the captain of his ship to let him know the place where his daughters had died, the place where the ship had gone down. He stood on deck hour after hour until the captain finally came and let him know of that place. As Spafford looked over the railing, he wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendant my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ had regarded my helpless estate and had shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul." You'll remember that Paul was chained to Roman soldiers as he wrote this book. As he wrote this book, I can imagine him thinking as he's writing these words, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Prayer is giving God our concerns and saying, "Okay, now the Creator has them. They are in his hands. I will trust him with them." And I want you to know this morning, whatever it is that is distracting you, whatever it is that is causing you to worry, God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than your concern. God is bigger than whatever is tugging at your heart. And God, Almighty Creator, can deal with whatever ill that it is that is causing you to worry. God is big enough to help you. What you need to do is to trust Him, to believe Him, to pray. But there's a second thing we need to do. We not only come before God and we pray, but the second thing we need to do is we need to ponder. We need to ponder. It does not stop with prayer. I believe the context continues, and I want you to know, Paul in verse 8 writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." You come before God in prayer and you lay your problems at the feet of God. And as you walk away from those difficulties, those problems, not hiding them in the drawer, but putting them at the feet of the Almighty, you then begin to ponder. You then begin to think. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." It's kind of like saying, "Okay, God, you've got my problems. Now here's what I need to think about. Here's what I need to do with my mind." We need to replace our thoughts of worry with these thoughts that are listed here. Notice them. He says the first one here is true. It is the opposite of that which is dishonest. Dr. Walter Calvert reported a survey on worry. He indicated that only 8% of the things that people worried about are legitimate matters of concern. 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters over which people had no control. Satan is a liar, and he wants to corrupt your mind. And he wants you to think about that which simply is not true. Whatever is noble, word means dignified, worthy of respect. Right, something that conforms to God's standard, that which is just, pure, not mixed with moral impurity, it's clean, lovely, that which is pleasing, which promotes peace rather than conflict, admirable, of good report, that's what it means, appealing, positive and constructive. It doesn't mean that we hide our heads in the sand, but it means that we take all the negativity out of our head and we think about that which is positive. You know what? The more negative your life gets, the more you need to be around positive people. And our tendency is the more negative our life gets, we want to get around everyone who's negative and miserable so we can kind of have company. Paul says we need to get our head on that which is admirable. The seventh word is excellent, means moral goodness. The eighth word is praiseworthy, simply means anything that is worthy of praise. These are the things that are fill up our head, and as so many preachers have said, all of these things are true of the Word of God, but it's even more things than just the Word of God. It means if your life is being pulled apart about something that's causing you to worry, give that problem to God and begin to think about things that aren't going to pull your head and heart apart. And it doesn't happen overnight. Someone has said, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow a character and reap destiny. Ponder. And it certainly does mean to meditate on the Word of God. Can you tell you how many times my life has been full of garbage and I had to pull out the Book of Psalms and just stick my head into all the things that are being said in the book of Psalms. But let me give you one more thing. Prayer, ponder, practice. Prayer, ponder, practice. Notice verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. So notice this idea of peace is continuing. It is verse 6 all the way through verse 9. It's the entire context. He says once you've prayed, once you've begun to ponder, then what you need to do is you need to practice. Practice Paul's example. Notice what you have learned, what you have received, what you have heard, and what you have seen in me, these you are to put into practice. I don't have time to dig too far this morning. Let me just give you a quick overview. What is the example of Paul that we've seen in the book of Philippians? What are these four things that Paul is talking about? Notice, first one is his viewpoint. Well, what is his viewpoint? If you go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, here's Paul's viewpoint. He said that every trouble is an opportunity. He said, I am chained, but my chains have offered me an opportunity to share the gospel. So what is it that's causing you to worry? I want you to know that that thing that's causing you to worry is an opportunity to bring God glory, and it's an opportunity in some way to serve God. Number two is attitude. What is Paul's attitude? If you look back at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, his attitude's pretty simple. It's this, either way I win. He said, whether I live or die, I win. If I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain. If I live, I get to serve God. If I die, I go to heaven. Either way, I win. What is Paul's spirit? Well, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, you find that Paul says he's always rejoicing. Think about all the things that Paul went through in his life and he was always rejoicing. I mean, you couldn't have had a more difficult life than the life of the Apostle Paul, and we find that he is always rejoicing. What is Paul's focus? If you go back to chapter 3, verse 10 to 14, you find that Paul's focus was to know Jesus Christ. He said, everything else in my life I'm leaving behind because I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. He said, I'm straining towards that. Everything else I'm leaving behind, and I'm straining towards that. He wasn't worried about whether he'd keep his house, lose his house, keep his friends, lose his friends, keep his job, lose his job. What mattered to him was knowing Jesus Christ. That was his focus. I want to guarantee you this morning that if you put this prescription in your life, you will have a peace that passes all understanding. Pray, ponder, practice. Horatio Spafford lost all of his kids, lost his business, lost all of his money. And he's saying, it is well with my soul. In fact, let me give you one more. Another hymn. Here's what it says. You probably know it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. Let's pray. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you might be here this morning breaking God's command not to worry. Maybe you're here this morning, there's something in your life that's causing you great worry, tugging at your soul. Here's what I want to do this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just silently, don't verbalize your thoughts and words. I want you right now to take that problem to God in prayer. I want you to notice God does not say he's going to fix your problem. He just says that if we bring it before him in prayer, if we begin to think about the things he's given us here, if we begin to put into practice the life of the Apostle Paul, his example, that God's going to give us a peace that passes all understanding. Whatever that problem is, bring it before God right now in prayer. And you may just find that the creator of all the universe is going to do some things that are so awesome you can't even believe. Father God, I pray for every person here this morning that is without your peace. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know your Son as their Savior, that today would be the day they get saved. Today would be the day that they trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin. I pray today would be the day they place their faith in the cross of Christ. I pray today would be the day that they call upon Jesus to save them. And Father, if there are others here who have that peace, I pray, Lord, that they would find the peace that comes from you, that is of you, the peace that is there for every circumstance of life. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that is full of worry, I pray, Lord, that they might follow this prescription to find your peace. Father, do great things in the hearts and minds of people today. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.